Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Through the Tech Vine. So be quiet, pay attention, and get inspired. There is one truth that is not told enough. Technology is not magic, but it can be magical. Technology is human. It is part of who we are, our evolution, our future. Will it be a dystopian or utopian one? Well, that is up to us and nobody else. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Is it better now?
There we go.
Yeah.
We have the technology.
I was old.
We can do this. You're looking a bit robotic, but now you're looking.
Am I still?
You're looking like a human now.
Good.
I was I was in a test in no gravity. That's why I was kind of.
There you go. You were floating in space.
I remember back in like 1988, I think it was. I was sitting in. I was sitting in Cambridge near Tech Square at MIT at some like sandwich shop. And I was sitting again, 1988, everybody, maybe 1989. I was next to two really smart engineers and they were talking about what needed to happen for compression in order for video calls to actually become a reality and what needed to happen with bandwidth. And I understood about like 5 or 10% of it at the time. I was gonna say at the time, but I guess maybe probably still accurate.
and now it's 1%.
Just being so excited that I could overhear this conversation about and thinking these are people working on actually making it happen, that we can stream movies and stream and just being just so blown away that it could be a reality. And then here we go. And we're like, oh, you know, oh, Marco, why isn't it perfect? Why is he delayed by like a nanosecond?
Am I still delayed?
No.
No, it's technology. Good. Sometimes technology pretend to be way better than what it is.
Yeah.
I just said that.
I pretend to be way better than I am. That's for sure.
All right. So it is Through the Tech Vine. We are already talking about tech.
Okay.
And this is our, like, what? I already lost count. Five? Fifth?
Two. This is episode two and a half.
Two and a half.
Okay. We started at zero.
Okay. Still episode. Every time feel fresh because.
And we increment by random numbers each time, I think.
And we're always reinventing ourselves. And so today, actually, we have a couple of new things going on because we want to keep it fresh and alive. And so we're going to play a little game, which Sean invented. So that's on you, dude.
It is on
if
me.
If it doesn't work, you can. I'll leave the link to his email at the bottom.
That's right. We'll put it
and
all there.
It is all for Sean. And then we're going to do today's in tech history, which is going to happen at the end. And I'm going to take the responsibility for that one.
Yeah, you do that one. Are we gonna make history today with this episode? That's the question.
I hope so.
Sure.
it's history for us because we are in it.
if it's in the past, it's history, right?
So.
Exactly. But what do we do here is, and then we're going to pass to the game. What do we do here is that we find the news that we like in technology that inspire us. We put one on the table each and is up for a conversation. And we try to look at it from different angles. I usually bring the dark side. That I guess at this point that's my role, and then we go with that, and we hope that you guys listening and the whole audience get inspired. Maybe do some research yourself and let us know if we got it right, we got it wrong, if we're being too good, too positive, or too pessimist about it.
Yes.
So here we go. But today the news is we play a game.
We're going to play a game. We'll see how this goes. So the idea is there's a word that maybe some of us know, maybe many of us don't know. And we're going to use that word to see if there's a connection to any or all or none of the stories that that we come up with today. So
in the worst case scenario, we learn the word.
Exactly. That's the worst case. I hate to learn words, so that would be extremely bad.
You came now, up with this game, Mark.
No, I'm joking. So here we go. So for this episode, we're going to make the word available at the beginning. And who knows? We might change it up the next one. We'll see how it goes. The word today is bumptious. Bumptious. So bumptious. I'm not going to say what it is.
Which is already a challenge for me.
Not gumshoe, not bombshell. It's bumptious.
So it's like bump, like fist bump, like but shoes?
Fist bump.
With the shoes. With shoes. Yeah. Okay. And how do we play this game?
Not quite shoes, shush. But anyway. So the game is, if our audience wants to play along, figure out if there is any connection to any of the stories that we bring. And I don't know. I picked the word. I have no idea what the stories are, so we'll see if there's any connection. And
can they Google it to know what is, or better if they don't?
Well, we know people are going to anyway, so it's I'd say it's up to the.
They're not going to.
Of course, they do. Everybody cheats.
More fun though if they don't Google it and they try and figure out what it means by the context that we use it. Hopefully, if we use it correctly.
Exactly. So I think at the end, we know. So we'll have the job of making that connection ourselves, and then our audience can figure out if they.
Boss, come on! It's like Googling things when you're doing the crosswords. Where's the fun? Yeah. It's like, come on, no.
So
at the end,
I'm purposely not going to spell it either. So
okay, cool.
Nobody knows how it's spelled,
but unless
they know the word, of course. But
Marco, do you use auto check though on your crosswords? Like, is that cheating? Because I do use it.
No, because when I do it, I learn from my dad. I actually do it writing by hand. So I'd never done crossword on the computer. Okay. Like, I really do. Old school. Like,
I do one with a stylus that's attached to my nose. I found this weird tech yesterday.
All right.
I guess it's just so you can hold your phone. And
is this your news already?
I was planning to use it, but I'm going to save that for another one.
I'm going to call it the bump shoes immediately. I call you on that one. All right. So let's see if that works. If we actually make sense.
We'll know at the end.
Okay.
People comment or not, then we'll
find out. Okay. It makes us think and do something different. Okay. Cool.
All right. So here we go.
Here we go. That's the word again. And I already forgot about it.
First, you want me to repeat it?
No, we have it actually in the chat, so I'm cheating. I'm cheating on that.
How to pronounce it too.
Oh yeah.
So the audience is asking us to show the word. Do we show it?
No, I think figure it out in the context.
Yeah,
like, all right. We'll show it at the end.
Yeah,
we'll see. We may modify this game, or we may scrap it all together. But for now, yeah. I
for
said
now
it.
That's what it is.
That's
Sean's mystery word game.
All right. Mystery. All right. It's a mystery to me as well.
All right. So let's get into what the show is all about, which is news, technology news that grab our attention. And Diana, you've been very culinary. Here's the word of the day, culinary, lately.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious to know if you're staying in that field or you're moving from the kitchen in another room.
Branching out. Both literally and figuratively.
There we go.
With my tech this week. Let's go.
Okay.
Above ground, below ground.
Yeah. So air, actually. Well, kind of air. So the other day we were leaving our house on a Sunday morning and we saw a bird that was in the road and it was flapping around. It couldn't get up. It couldn't fly. So we stopped the car and we took it out of the middle. It was in the middle of the road on the double yellow line. We took it out to the side and thought maybe it just needed a few moments to kind of get its bearings, but it just lay there in the salt marsh, you know, next to the reeds in the salt marsh and wasn't moving. So we decided that, you know, the best thing for this bird was for us to take it to we're very lucky we live near a bird wildlife rehab center. It's about a half an hour from our home. So we called them, told them we were coming up, and we brought the bird there, and we didn't know how to identify the bird. So I got really interested in, and it's okay. They have rehabbed the bird and the bird is going to go back out into the wild. So it survived whatever happened to it. And I think it had a strained wing, but not a broken wing. But so that was good news. But then I got interested in identifying birds. It turned out it was a northern flicker, which is a kind of woodpecker. But as I was looking up how to identify birds, I discovered something that's very, very cool that came out of Cornell University called BirdNet. And it's essentially Shazam, you know, that tool Shazam, where you just hold your phone up to a bit of a song. So the scientists at Cornell, the researchers, have created this BirdNet, and you can use it on your Android or your iOS, and you can get it at birdnet.cornell.edu. And you hold it up, and it will identify the bird sound. So if there's a particularly bumptious bird that's going off and making a lot of noise, and you want to know what is that bird that's keeping me up at night or keeping me company in the afternoon, you can use this BirdNet app. And it does a spectrogram of the tweet. So if you hear of the music of the bird, so if there are a bunch of birds and you know that one is making noise for a few minutes and then another one or for a few seconds, you can isolate the part that you just want it to analyze. And it's so smart that it will actually identify where you are and tell you for this time of year where you happen to be, what bird it's most likely that you're hearing. So it's not just on the music, then the sounds that they're making, the song, but also by trying to figure out where you are, what might be around, what you might want to hear.
Wait, try to figure out or use your GPS to know where you are?
Well, yeah, so to use your GPS, but try to figure out which bird it would be.
Okay, yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah. Which, I mean, how cool is that? Shazam,
it's really cool.
Birds.
I love it. And when you started these, I thought you were talking about taking a picture of the bird, because, you know, and then you go and search it. Because I have an app similar to that, which is for identifying plants. And it's, guess what? Artificial intelligence driven.
Yeah.
And so all this input, you take the picture, scan it, and then it doesn't really get it right all the time. But overall, it's pretty good. And then you get all this information about what the plan is and how to care of it and what you can do. There is even a poem sometimes about the plant. So it really, it's really, really
that.
Cool. Yeah.
Plant
so
poems.
This bird thing is really cool though, because we actually have birds that keep up us at night here.
Does it tell you what music the plant likes to listen to when it wakes
or
up?
Or which birds it wants to hear singing right. to grow.
Which kind of hummingbird can drink its nectar.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so is this made by a university, a college, a research? What?
Yes, yeah. Cornell University.
Oh, Cornell. Okay,
sorry. Yeah, Cornell University, and you can just go to birdnet.cornell.edu and read more about what they're doing. And it is crowdsourced, so I suspect there's some machine learning that they're using the data that people are crowdsourcing to make it better and smarter over time.
Yeah, so people can say, no, you didn't get this right because I know what this bird is and I was just
exactly.
testing you. Okay.
Yeah, that was really the nightingale and not the lark. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I may have to download this one.
So it's interesting because when Marco said it tells you the plant, but sometimes it doesn't get it right. To me, that's what I stick on for a lot of these new technologies is how accurate is it? Is it accurate enough and for what purposes? I mean, for bird sightseeing, if it gets it wrong, there's no issue. If it's for bird preservation, and it's consistently getting it wrong, maybe we're not going to preserve that bird. So I don't know. I like the idea of crowdsourcing because we can feed it a lot of data, but then we also have the question of how good is the data, right? Presumably somebody's submitting the sound and identifying the bird.
Well, you start somewhere, and then as long as you have the engine, then learn. I mean, I think the key here is to everybody helps in making the machine better at recognizing to the point where it's eventually perfect, I guess.
I mean, it can work really well, that kind of crowdsourced. I think about Wikipedia. I remember when it first came out and everybody was like, oh, it'll never be valuable and students will never be able to use it. And it's pretty... Well, we keep each other pretty honest on Wikipedia.
Yeah. If I was talking to somebody this morning about that. It wasn't just the content. It was the contributions of everybody with the content. Yeah.
Well, there is a lot of problems that have been resolved, what we're trying to resolve with that. I mean, we have that option to put all the brain of the world together trying to resolve something. I mean, I've seen sometimes you see mystery documentary about unresolved case, for example.
Yeah.
And people get online, they have their own Facebook groups, and they all try to look at this video. There was a case in an hotel here in LA a few years ago. And it's incredible what a lot of brain together can do, right?
Was that the person, the body in the water tank one?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just kind of, yeah. Did they solve that?
They did. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's another story. But yeah, okay. It's a long story. But they did. They did. It was a 4 episodes. So I have to thank. Yeah. Huh? That was the one in the tank. Sean.
Are we transitioning?
Can you use this? No? Can you use your word in this?
I certainly can. Diana did, actually, directly in the story. And I think it fit perfectly. The bumptious bird.
A bumptious bird.
So I think we leave
it
there.
Can the crowd be bumptious?
Sure.
Can a crowd be? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of to my point. If maybe not directly, but if the crowd is bumptious, you may not end up with what you really want.
Okay. We're getting there. I kind of like this game.
Liar.
Do we move? No, I'm loving it.
AI's kept you.
Really, it's just scanning my emotion. No, we'll see. Let's go. I love this first one. Very interesting in connection with nature, and crowdsource is an important element in everything we do nowadays. We should use it more, actually, I think.
Yeah. So are we on to mine?
Yeah.
Is that the idea? All right. So
yeah, we got it moving.
We got keep going. So mine is about technology using human behavior to kind of reason things out abstractly. The whole point is to predict what the human will do based on previous actions, previous behaviors, and specifically visually. So it's machine learning technology, of course, looking at videos. So it's not necessarily watching people in real life yet, but watching videos, looking at expressions, looking at movement, to determine what the next action is going to be. If somebody walks up to somebody else, is that person predisposed to hug or handshake or fist bump or stand back? And presumably they can then look at other attributes of the person to make some connections to others and then figure out, as a general rule, this is what people do. Here are the exceptions, maybe some information why those exceptions are the way they are. So the idea is that number of applications, of course, but looking at, obviously, when driverless cars come in, we don't necessarily have to rely on the human, but when there's assisted driving, perhaps we can look at the behavior. And I know some of that already exists in terms of somebody's nodding their head to sleep, but perhaps others in the car, if the kids are playing in the back, it becomes a little dangerous. If the driver is looking back and scolding kids or whatever, they can watch that behavior or observe the behavior in the car to then either alert the driver to pay attention or whatever. So I think it's interesting. The idea that, there's obviously the privacy implications of this. I don't know where they're getting the videos, and presumably some of these are submitted by folks, but again, it's the data set, right? So how do you get a data set that is, realistic and not something that's curated from a small group with certain biases or with a group with an agenda that is bumptious in nature and pushes a set of activities that steer the results in a certain way. So I think it's pretty cool. A lot of applications to the video technique. It's not as cool as Diana's bird sound app. But anyway, that's what I uncovered. Kind of predicting the ultimate goal is to at some point we're going to be surrounded by robots, right? Trying to pretend to be us. And we're going to want to be comfortable with that. So we want the robots to
predict. Make that leap.
I would make that leap.
I love that.
People are going to listen to gumptious with that.
People are going to listen to the podcast. They missed me and Diana exchanging the look of how did he go there? How did he make that?
I went back to the article. The article was positioning the technology that ultimately would be used in robotics and robots and humans interacting with
robots. They are pretending to be us.
And the robot, you don't want the robot coming up and hugging you if you're not liking hugs.
Consent robot. Exactly. I need to consent before you touch me, robot.
First of all, I want to know if you are a robot. So are you a robot? Yeah, okay, then we can talk. No, it's really cool. But my question is it just stopping to the next reaction? I mean, the next, how you say?
Is it predicting the next action?
Yeah, the next action prediction, or it goes deeper into start studying your psychology, your behavior, your personality, and
it didn't get
that's
into,
when it gets weird.
It didn't get into what I would picture that as a map of your of mm-hmm. who you are. It's mm-hmm. more of
fragments.
Here's you act this way, we expect you to do this next.
Right. And we kind of talk about that with the car, like how a driver can't read somebody's expression or movement and say, oh, it's going to jump, right, while the car is just going to see a person sitting there or standing at the street. So yeah.
I went down such a different path. The robots pretending to be less aside. Yeah, I was going down the path of using CCTV cameras, both in stores and on the street, and trying to identify actions that look suspicious. You know, things like the Boston Marathon bombers were caught in part because of the CCTV cameras. Afterwards, they used them to figure out who likely had put down the backpack with the bomb in it. But what if somebody's acting furtive? Does that mean maybe they're, or especially in a store, if you were trying to figure out if somebody has done, is about to shoplift, for example, do they have these little tells that they often do? That
you see acting bumptious, for example.
Are they acting bumptious, which may mean that they're about to not steal something, but to, you know, cause, like, maybe throw a brick through the window because they want to cause a big, but that's, I had thought that okay. was where you were going, was sort of public safety and identifying people that were.
Which is completely different, because that's kind of more the scary part. So there is always the good and the bad, right? That's the scary part. It's time to predict a behavior that, to be honest, you may have reason where some people just, they can't use their expression to communicate their feelings. I mean, there are some kind of...
A friend of the show, Nicola Whiting, has commented to me on that, because she's autistic. She's mentioned that sometimes she actually likes being on video because she can see her facial expressions, which is something that, you know, so some people, it's true, their expressions are not how they're, it's like they're like human Labradors sometimes, you know, they're feeling things, but their face isn't expressing it in the same way.
One thing that came to me was kind of the health thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marco. One thing that came to mind for me is if somebody has medical problems and they act a certain way just before something really bad happens. So I know, Marco, you often refer to your watch, knowing if there's a quick drop to the ground, perhaps there was a heart failure or something that put that person on the ground, so the watch could alert somebody in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. So watching somebody who has medical problems, maybe there is a sign of a twitch or a sign of a certain action or something that is a prelude to something bigger that's more problematic. And so I thought maybe this technology could be used to, again, alert a loved one or alert a hospital or something and maybe in a hospital setting, watching the patient could be helpful as well.
Right.
I keep thinking about this integration of robotics in our life, or any form of artificial intelligence, self-moving car or anything, really. you know, that knows if I mean, first of all, it's a way for them to know what to expect from you. But if we ever get to the point where robots can have facial expression and we can go into the anthropomorphic look or non-look, which we kind of touched on, then maybe we can teach them to really express themselves. And I mean, I feel when you say, where are they getting the data? I mean, all you need to do is make them watch movies or TV all day long and learn. Kind of like the Fifth Element, where she goes through the whole history of the world in a few minutes.
Yeah, or CCTV, because I mean, this is something we've all, I mean, you think that there are a lot of public areas where cameras are on us all the time, in casinos, in airports, on the street, in major cities.
That's the protective part. So there is the good and the bad, like everything else.
Yeah. So this is another university doing research on this, Columbia University.
How far is I mean, are they already showing some good results, or or are we still into, I don't know if it's a cat or a dog?
No, they're able. It seems they're able to categorize different actions. Like they can they can associate running and playing tennis as exercise. They can associate the handshake and the fist bump and hug as greetings.
A friendly thing. Okay.
As greetings, right?
Cool. I love this.
Yeah. It's really cool.
They didn't know they were working on it. Yeah. Really cool. Yeah. And they wear bump shoes each other.
That's right. Bump shoes. So I guess that's the question.
Cool. I love it.
Is there a connection?
Is there a connection? Oh, so
yeah,
that's
people are getting bumptious. You're gonna you could ID that with this technology.
That's right. Categorize bumptious.
What I wouldn't like is that, and that's the fear when you look into sci-fi is we are teaching robots to be ourselves. Like we are so perfect, right? Instead of being their own thing, maybe better than humans, because we have a lot of flaws, right? Mm-hmm. So what if they learn from us to be bumptious and other things? Or
it's almost inevitable.
I mean, how do you, it's inevitable. I just say, look, okay, learn how to be friendly and loving, but don't learn how to hate, which that's big philosophy right here.
or we forget sometimes that things that we're not good at could be part of intelligence. Like canines are so good with their olfactory system that they say that they could smell a stew and be able to identify all the individual ingredients. You think about the power of having that kind of sense of smell.
They're smelling COVID right now.
Yeah, they're able to identify COVID. And we don't, because we have terrible olfact comparatively, we don't identify sense of smell as something that's related to intelligence, but yet it is. It's this incredible, it's just a power we don't have. And now people are thinking about it more, I think. But yeah, it's true. We get caught up in what we can do and what we think is valuable. And not
that's what you want a robot to learn, to get that capacity. The fun fact about the smell, for example, to put it in perspective, is they can smell the equivalent of a drop of water in an Olympic pool where we couldn't even smell the water in the pool. Like the particular smell that they can grasp is on that scale. So they, when they smell around, they smell stuff that is literally miles away.
We're kind of leading into bionics, right? Right.
That's
so
true.
Is a dog's smell even enough?
No,
for what we need, I don't know.
Well, you want to build a nose that is like that, maybe for rescue missions and like the things you use the dogs, but you could also use robots to do that.
It reminds me of a story. Sorry, Dan. Of I think it's the Disney Concert Hall. Somebody told me the story that I don't know if it was the architect that built this room to be perfectly sound ready for the most amazing orchestra. Went in, the orchestra played, and he's like, "There's something wrong." And he said, "Play again. There's something wrong. Let me move." And ultimately, a long story short, is he found a spot in the building, and he said, "There's something wrong with this panel." So they took the panel off, and one of the workers had left a soda can
within the panel.
Wow!
They could tell that
he was able to pick that up in his ear. That there was something off with the sound. It wasn't the same.
Wow, that's impressive.
Really impressive.
That's
bionic ears.
Oral intelligence, yeah.
Love it.
So, I don't know if that's a legend or a myth, but anyway, story I heard.
I was just going to comment. I didn't really. I was going to ask because when you said bionic, I was going to say, was Lee Majors able to smell extra well? I don't know.
I don't remember that.
I don't know.
I don't remember it was one of the bionic thing.
I don't think so. I don't.
Maybe well, he can smell the same, but
he could run fast.
But faster. He can smell the same, but faster.
Because you can smell more things in different places, but the smell was about the same.
Yes.
All right, cool.
That's very bumptious of you, Marco.
Okay, I'm just trying to stay on time. I'm looking at
all right,
the watch. So
we're running over.
I'm going to go on mine because actually I skipped last time and I brought that nostalgia thing, if you remember, which is something I'm going to bring at the end with the thing of the historic fact of the day. But my story is actually a little bit connected with history, connected with Nikola Tesla. And it's one of my heroes. I just love that guy because it was the underdog that got honestly screwed, and commercially speaking. But he was a true inventor. I mean, he invented so many things that we're using today that is incredible. And then he ended up dying alone, friends with pigeons in a hotel room in New York. But you know, we are using the things that they had done, and he was a visionary for electricity, for alternate current. A company in New Zealand is now doing what I have been wondering for many years. Every time that my cable tangles, they are now able and testing to transmit electricity, high voltage electricity, without wires for long distances. And the application for this, of course, is incredible because think about all the electric poles that you have around the cities, or the ones that are under the ground, and all the problems that can cause, the ones that are running underneath the ocean. And so they have found a way where they don't, well, NASA has been using this as well already, but they're commercializing this. And it's all connected to the Tesla coil. You know, that really cool thing that makes all the electricity if you go at the Griffith Observatory or other museum, and the kids are doing it, and people are passionate about doing this. There's such thing called the coilers, which they build coils and they have events and congress and conventions and stuff like that, because they can make the coils sing as well because we're using certain frequency. But the bottom line is that with this application, it's they use an antenna, which has a curious name, and I made a note here. It's called a rectennas because it's a rectifying antenna. So it channels the electromagnetic field. Instead of dispersing it in the air, it goes from one repetitor to another, and it can in this way go very long distance. And you can use it in rural area. You can use it to bring electricity, for example, made by turbine in the middle of the ocean, and bring it to a completely different location. And the craziest application for me was the fact that when tomorrow we're going to have electric airplanes, they can recharge a plane as it flies, which is pretty damn cool if you think about it. Get there. So it's an incredible amount of environmentally friendly solution. And I just find it's just fantastic that it goes all the way back to the vision of Nikola Tesla back in 1891. So that's the news. It's exciting, I think, and it's not bumptious.
It's very cool, and I love it for renewables because that's one of the biggest problems is storage and transmission of the energy. Is there anything? Does it change anything in the air? I mean, the one thing the spectrum. Like, I'm just wondering, are we?
No, it's micro. No, it's microwave. So it's not okay. Detectable for us. They did it in a way where if a bird is flying through the current, it would detect it and stop it. And I'm not even sure if it actually doesn't even stop. But it doesn't hurt anything. I mean, it's microwave, so it doesn't, you know.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt. That's cool.
Microwaves taste great.
Yeah.
You know what I like these about this is when I think of all the things we can do when we're being as innovative as possible as humans, most of it requires power.
Right.
And so this doesn't necessarily touch on the storage part, but it does touch on finding new sources because we now have a way to get it from the source to a new place. Right.
Yeah.
So the turbines under the ocean, for example, if we have to drag cables all over the place underwater, which we do for some instances, can get really expensive and not very resilient.
Right.
Yeah. So I really like it because more sources that, as you mentioned, Marco, are environmentally friendly. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And what these rectennas do is they create it. It's a cube in the air. Just think about a Quidditch. I don't know if you're familiar with Harry Potter, but you know, the circle in the air, it just is square and it just keep the direction, the flow of the energy very focused. So there is no dispersion and it's very effective and it can jump from for a long distance and kept. It's almost like, I don't know, I was thinking it could be one of the hyperloops, you know, where they keep the wave in there instead of being in a cable with all the...
Yeah.
The bad consequences you have with that.
I'm envisioning a microwave tap. I can come in and I can tap into their microwave and grab
get
some
a
free
little
energy.
Pie pan on your hand and just like start to move the wave.
That's a chance too. Maybe you're in the middle of the street and you just need to recharge your phone and there is a little receiver there.
Yeah.
And it will find a way to hack that too.
That was my point. I'm going to
cybersecurity.
I'm going to tap it and extract my own.
I know. I was going to translate
free electricity.
Well, you know, maybe one day electricity will be free because there will be so abundant, right? That using solar and wind and water.
We have resources. Yeah. No, I mean that's it'd be nice, right? If it could be get the cost down because we have free sources from solar and wind, and we continue not to use them as much as we could. So yeah, now how close is this, Marco? Like how soon?
They're New Zealand gave the okay. This is a New Zealand company, so New Zealand is the perfect place to try this with all the volcanic area, the very desolated area, the mountains and everything. So they're going to go there, build it. It says this is the deal between this startup company and PowerCo, which is the New Zealand's second largest electric distributor. And they are going to start testing at the beginning of 2021. This was an article from March. So maybe they're already doing it now. And they were saying that, you know, this is, of course, application that have already been tested at military level and NASA, but this will be a commercial application for really large distribution of this thing. So I like that.
I'm excited for it. Get some of the battery technology that, you know, was it lithium silicon, you know, you combine better transmission and better battery technology and we can really change how we make consume energy.
It is, but you guys see anything negative in this? Or did I just nail
the,
it?
Yeah, the birds that are going to be tested.
No. I'm actually looking. There are tiny laser that are monitoring. So anytime there is an interruption
of
the grid.
The bird before it goes into.
Yeah, they kill the bird before it gets into the thing. And then if you are using your app at that time to try to figure out what bird it is, it's a dead bird.
Or since maybe it's going to change their vocal cords so that their bird song will now be modified due to
You hope it's a phoenix.
We predict that behavior.
You just hope it's a phoenix. It goes in ashes, and then it come back to life.
Rises again.
There you go. See, I found the positive in that.
Phoenix.
All right. Well, hey,
He's on a Harry Potter kind of bent today.
I am an Harry Potter.
Quidditch and Phoenix.
I'm an Harry Potter, know a lot of things. So we are a 39.
A bumptious Harry Potter fan.
He is. He's a very bumptious.
I am. I'll always find a way to bring him up. And I want to know that I know a lot about it. So 39 minutes and 20 seconds that we've been on. So as we decided to keep it about 45, I think we go with the historic quick. And I'm going to go with that. In, let's see, let me find it. In July 1st. 1979, so when I was just a kid, the first Sony Walkman goes on sale, and you knew I was going to get that. So I went on and I said, what happened today? I'm like, Sony Walkman, that's it. So we talked about it quite a bit, about the music, but there's an interesting story because it's how, you know, music... It's always been thought about, you know, you enjoy where you are. You know, then, you know, they put it in the car. In the 50s, they put the radio transistor, which made it portable. But the quality of the music has never been that great. I mean, the music in the radio transistor is not that great, but kids, people just love that. And so the Walkman, it brings a certain fidelity in the music and high fidelity. And apparently the chairman of Sony at the time, he was a big passionate of music, and he used to have a prototype of something that was called the Sony TCD5, which was a portable player, tape player, but quite big with a battery. It didn't last that long, but he used to bring it on long flights with him. And the battery will die halfway, and it wasn't like a Walkman. So he said, why are we not thinking to make something like this? I mean, everybody will want to listen to the music when they walk. So he kind of gave the idea to the engineers, and they come up with something, and he loved it. So he invested a lot of money for Sony to do that, and became pretty much a success almost right away. And he was selling for $150 a pop back in 1979. So it wasn't cheap, but.
No, but it was, man, we all want. So I was in high school or just at the end of junior high. But yeah, that was, we all wanted Walkman. And I remember that, so I finally, for Christmas, that was on my list, because it was the gift everybody wanted. And my dad is a huge Consumer Reports fan, and it didn't get the top rating. but of course everybody wanted the Walkman. They didn't want some portable tape, you know, tape player. You wanted the Walkman. And so I got the other brand that was the top of the Consumer Reports rating. And of course, being a kid, it was like, but still it was amazing to have ears. I mean, I don't think people today understand how not portable music was, and how hard it was if you were a teenager to drown out your parents before these existed. So yeah, I remember that so well, and it was wonderful. And I've always been a big walker. I love to walk long distances, and it just felt so transformative when it came out. Such great mm-hmm. technology.
Sean, did you have one?
I used to walk around with my big boombox on my shoulder.
Well, that's bombastic.
Yeah,
that is definitely bumptious. I did not on my shoulder all the time, but I did watch that. That was my portal for a long time. And the point I was going to make about the Walkman is I always wanted the sports edition.
Yeah,
the rocket one.
That was the cool one.
The yellow one. Yeah. It was because of the yellow.
Yeah,
I like the yellow.
Yeah. Also, because if it fell, that was a little bit more resistant.
And that too. Yeah.
That too. Yeah. Well, you know, the last final bit about this is that when they put it on sale a little bit because it was expensive and they didn't do a marketing campaign too big, but then they did. What they changed the game was the marketing department started going around the street of Tokyo with Walkman and filming. People, for the first time, they'll say, here's the Walkman, put the headset on, and they start filming the reaction of people seeing themselves like dancing and walking downtown in the street, in the metro, in the train, and that became what became. So really cool. Love it.
It changes your whole attitude when you're listening to some music that you really love. It gets, I think we've talked about that, you know, before, but you know, it can make you happy, right? That was one of the tech of like, is this music going to make you happy? So yeah, to be able to surround, to make that part of your environment where it was not possible, you were just at the mercy of whatever sounds were around you. Now you have, bird sounds.
And compare with Sean going around with the big boom, right? You can do it in a very private way because you can put it in your pocket, in your backpack. Yeah. And, you know, the headset was kind of small. It wasn't like the one that we have right now. And you I mean, you could be private. You didn't have to, you know, you could close yourself in your little world and enjoy it.
Sean, were you wearing like a backwards baseball cap at the boom box? Or I don't know. You were? Okay. Yeah. All right.
My jeans were too big.
Skateboard
didn't quite fit my hips properly.
Got it.
Were you break dancing too?
I was. I had the cardboard. the edges are all torn up.
I love
Martin
that.
Too. The clean boogaloo.
Side, the dark side.
I love it. All right, this was fun. Let's wrap with the word.
The word of the day.
And the word is the bird.
Word is the bird.
Word is the bird.
Oh,
bird.
I just bumptious posted the bird. Word of the day. The word of the day is bumptious. Let me go ahead and share what it is here, and then we'll quickly make a connection to each of our stories. So the word is basically presumptuously, obtusely, and often noisily self-assertive. So putting yourself out there and being super aggressive about it, right? That's my take on the word. So I think, and as we were talking before we went live, this can easily be associated with a person and their attributes. But I think as I touched on with my story, it could also be translated into computer behavior, right? So an attribute that a computer presumably could hold and have and present if it's taught to do so, or maybe it learns to do it on its own.
Well, computer, do computer doubt themselves? They know it's binary, right? If I say so, it's so.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make you
I think it's the way in which you present your knowledge, true or false. I think that's my take on it.
So it's not really what you're saying, it's how you say it.
I believe so.
Which is typical of
being pushy with your
knowledge. Yeah. Like
I know.
I know everything. Right?
Yeah.
So a computer can be, but I was thinking there is
can birds be?
Birds? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. If you listened, we have a lot of birds around our house, and I feel like some of them are pretty bumptious, and other birds are like, we got it. Like, chill it out, buddy. But, like, you know, like eat, tweet. So I think some of these birds are
bumptious. Animals can do that, especially when they are, you know, trying to find their companion. You know, think about the birds.
Yeah.
They dance, and they want to be old, kind of looking cooler than the other one, and mostly animals do. And I think humans do not the same thing, right? Especially when they're not sure about something, they want to appear sure.
And, yes.
Right?
Say it louder. That's
say louder.
Exactly.
And so that's the word of the day.
That's the word of the day.
I don't know how to connect it with the Tesla story, because he was definitely not. I mean, I think he knew that he had good stuff in his hand, but he was never...
Maybe he wasn't enough.
But arguably one of the biggest Tesla fans is a rather bumptious person. Elon.
Yep. I would say so. And
so there you go.
There you go.
That's the word. That's the game. Love it or hate it. We did it.
We did it.
If anybody has feedback,
let us know if that's an idea, because another idea was to just choose a random word or a key phrase and just throw it in place.
Weird.
So we may do that. And we may have another person next time.
Never know.
We may. We may not. Who knows? We're going to be here.
We'll be here.
We're definitely going to be here. We're going to be time. right in the middle
actually,
of the tech.
I can't say that same time. We may choose a different time, but it will be on Thursday.
We have been thinking that it's a little late in Europe, and even if there is a podcast, we have some friend that would like to make fun of us in real life while we're going live in person, and so yeah, make fun of us. We don't care. We're good. We're cool.
Mystery we're Science cool. Theater.
Yeah, we're cool. Chill. Peace. Peace out.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Through the Tech Vine podcast. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.